Oh, no, other than God, and he doesn't care, you know, if you can harmonize with Kim or not. And I can tell you that God will meet you in the midst of that. So I encourage you with that. And second of all, if you are on your own, man, Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the live stream. Thanks for joining us. You know, it's just so good to have you week in and week out. For those of you who can't make it out to our services out at CPC or here at the WRC campus, as you know, we've been going through Ephesians and we've been enjoying just discovering what it means to become alive in Christ, and that is an opportunity for each of us today. Been learning about his spiritual blessings, like just the grace that he offers us, the mercy that he offers us. We've been talking about this love that is hard to contain. It's wider, higher, deeper, longer. It's just an amazing thing. So thanks for being on that journey with us. A couple of things I'd like to suggest for those of you who do watch online. One of them is enter into the worship. I know it's kind of weird, and it's like, can anyone hear me? If you're alone, no, other than God, and he doesn't care, you know, if you can harmonize with Kim or not. And I can tell you that God will meet you in the midst of that. So I encourage you with that. And second of all, if you are on your own, man, I'd encourage you to reach out to somebody following the service and maybe just interact with them a little bit on what God's been saying, what God's been doing in your life. Anyhow, thanks so much for joining us. You have a great day.
Well, welcome to your announcements. We've only got one announcement for you this morning, but it's really important, so listen up.
Yes, so as you know, SBC is going through a season of transition as we're looking for a new lead pastor. Mm-hmm. And the search committee is wanting to provide an opportunity for you to speak into that process. So we want to hear how you see God leading SBC, those things that you think are important for the search committee to be considering as they begin this process.
Awesome. So how can the people speak into this process?
Yeah, so we have created a questionnaire that we have on our website. So starting today, you can head to our website. One of those big blue buttons will have the questionnaire. It's just a short questionnaire filled with a few questions to kind of help direct your thoughts.
And this is a questionnaire that you can fill out whether you've been coming here for years and years or whether you've just started attending SBC. We really want to hear from you, so make sure you go to our website, hit it up, do up that little questionnaire, and have a voice in how we approach the search for a new lead pastor. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. If you're able to, invite you to stand with us as we begin to worship this morning. And out of curiosity, how many of us were at the Monopoly yesterday? Yes. Man, more than I expected, actually. So, anybody, like, kind of just feeling sore and, like, tired? Yeah. So, for folks that don't know, we had kind of just a big, like, life-size Monopoly game yesterday at an elementary school, and seeing just all of the kids and also the parents basically running for about an hour and a half straight to different spots and stuff. I don't know that I would be here this morning, so props to you guys for making it out. Like, my back hurts and I'm tired this morning and I wasn't even playing the game, so great job. So as we begin to worship this morning, we want to acknowledge with gratitude that we are leading worship on the traditional territories of the Wasanish and the Wakongan peoples, and reading this call to worship from Psalm 29. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength, and the Lord blesses them with peace. Amen. Well, let's worship our God this morning. Let your kingdom come. Jesus, let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here in us. Jesus, there is no one greater. You alone are Savior. Show the world your love. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. Strong to save in your mighty name, King of heaven, come. We are the children of your mercy, rescued for your glory. We cry, Jesus, set our hearts towards you. Every eye would see you lifted high. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Stand against us. You are strong to save in your mighty name, King of heaven, come. Oh, oh, sing, King of heaven, come. Sing that again. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, come. King of heaven. your glory reign, shining like the day, King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come. You are strong to save. You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come. One more time. You are strong. You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come. Our Father, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit and even Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified, forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name. Eternal, and I believe in the virgin birth, I believe in the saints' communion, and in your holy church, I believe in the resurrection, then Jesus comes again, for I believe in the name of Jesus, I believe in the God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, and we will rise again, Darkness, we will wait without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Sing praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King. Heaven held its breath till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and this angel stood in awe. The souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. This gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. By the blood of Jesus Christ, who is resurrected me. Sing praise the Father. Praise forever. All these great truths that we sang. Think of just that line from this, I believe, our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. God, so we just thank you for that, Lord, that we have a judge who is on our side. God, I pray that if any of us are maybe feeling discouraged or low or maybe even just condemned, that we would remember that, God, that you are our judge. You are also our defender, the one who suffered and was crucified for us, God. So we thank you for that truth, Lord. We thank you for your presence here with us in this room, in this space. Pray that our hearts and our minds would be open just to receive your truth, to hear your word and have it change our lives, God. Lord, you are good. We pray, we love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you can take a seat.
And kids, we'll let you guys head on up to your classes now if you would like. What a gift that is that we were just able to participate in. Like, there is something unique that happens when we are gathered in a space and we are collectively doing what we just did. We call it praise, right? Worship, if you like. But God, man, when you can get into that space, like beyond just going through the motion of singing those words, when you can get into that space, God will meet you. And I just pray and trust that he has done that for you this morning and will continue to do that. We were singing some songs this morning that were reflective of what are called creeds. Men and women who gathered together to make statements about the God that they were going to honor as collective communities throughout the centuries of the church. Things that really matter, like when push comes to shove, what is it that we believe in? And you just declared those things with people who have been doing it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. People who have been doing it already today around the world, who are going to do it a little bit later today, just depending on their time zone, and God is present with it all. What an amazing gift. Ah, man, that is just so great. And this morning, we are going to be looking at Ephesians again. We've been going through this series, and this morning, we're privileged. Christine is going to be speaking to us, but she just asked if I would read just some of the gathered pieces of some of what we've already looked at in the first three chapters, and then she's going to be opening up chapter 4. For us. So you can just kind of follow along as I read these selective portions, rich truths of our God and his promises through the letter to the church in Ephesus. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God's purpose was that we Jews who were first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would bring praise and glorify him. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations, and he made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. Before we continue through Ephesians, if you received a bulletin today, you will notice that there is a cool QR code that we all got very used to using during COVID. But what this will take you to is a questionnaire that we talked about in announcements. But if you were walking in as we were playing the announcements, we are asking you, the congregation, whether you've been attending here for a long time or you're new here, to speak into the process as we search for a new lead pastor. So you can go to our website or you can scan this QR code and fill out the questionnaire. We would love to hear from as many people as possible. So please take the time to fill up that short questionnaire. That's all I have. And now let's continue through Ephesians. And thank you for sitting through a decently long piece of scripture reading, but I really wanted us to remember what we have been talking about for the last 3 weeks. Lindsay's been guiding us through chapters 1-3 of Ephesians, talking about what it means to be alive in Christ, to experience all that God has for us. And as we enter into chapter 4, right away we're going to notice that a shift happens. And so in order for us to understand the shift, we have to understand where we were to begin with. So I say a shift has happened, and it's not because I'm super smart that I realize this. It's because of a single word, and you can notice this too, both in this chapter, but also whenever you're reading the Bible, if you see the word therefore, you should ask the question, what is it therefore? That's like the one thing from Bible college that I remember because it really sticks with you. So when we start out in chapter 4, we have the word therefore, and you have to kind of go back then, right? Be like, okay, what is he referring to? What is Paul talking about? And you realize he's actually talking about everything he just said. So everything that you've heard, everything that we just reviewed, therefore. So let's read Ephesians 4. Verse 1, therefore I, Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. So basically, Paul is saying, you've heard it all. You've heard about this new life in Christ, and it's pretty awesome. And now, you actually need to live in that new reality. It's just not good enough to hear all this stuff and say, that's fantastic. We actually have to live this life in Christ. And Paul has the authority to say this because he is doing it. He is actively doing it. And that's actually led him to be in prison, right? He says, I, Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord. He is in prison because he is serving God. He is following this call that God has put on his life. And if you're like me, when you just read that sentence, if you pause right there, without going further, and think about what would Paul define worthy of the call as, don't skip ahead. What I would imagine as a prisoner, he's using that to encourage people to live this life. I would imagine that he's referring to things that Jesus said maybe about, you know, pick up your cross and follow me, or leave your family and follow me, or give all you have to the poor. That's a life worthy of the call, to be willing to give up everything to follow Jesus. But let's see what he actually says. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 2. He says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with one another, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now, that's just not the call to action that I was kind of anticipating, right? It's a call to humility and to gentleness and to patience and unity and peace. And you may think that, this is a letter to a specific church at a specific time. So maybe it's that this specific church is having issues with unity. That's why Paul is starting here. But I was reminded of what Jesus prayed to his Father right before he was betrayed, right before he was killed. In John 17, we read this. This is Jesus' prayer. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's you and me. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. And so I don't think it's a mistake that this is where Paul starts when he says, what is it? What does it mean to actually live in this new reality? It means to be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, to be united. He's echoing Jesus' words. And it's not just being united in the things that we can typically find unity in, right? The similarities that we have. It's united in spirit. Which, what does that mean? What does it mean to be united in spirit? And the thing that my mind went to when I read this was, if you've ever traveled and you've met a fellow believer who is from a different culture and speaks a different language and maybe worships differently and has different experiences, has a different story. But when you meet them, you connect, you recognize something in them, and you realize that's the Spirit. There's nothing else that should connect us but the Spirit. And I don't even think you have to go travel the world to experience this, because I remember I was at the airport a few years ago picking up my family, and I started chatting with a woman. And we were only a few minutes into our conversation, and I went, she knows Jesus. Like, she just has a peace, she has a joy, she has the Spirit. It's recognizable. That's the thing that's uniting us. Have you experienced that ever? It's so cool. But it's also so easy to feel united with somebody when you only know them for 5 minutes. What's really hard is to continue being united when you get to know somebody, when you recognize how different you are and how much you disagree and how much they're wrong and you're right. That's when unity becomes really difficult. And that's when I think of what Lindsay was saying about coming together as a church, and we're singing these songs, and it just is, yes, like, we've gone out this past week, we've been living our lives, you come and you want to be refreshed, you want to be with people who just, they believe the same as you. It's wonderful. But I'm pretty sure that if you guys started connecting and you really had these deep conversations with people here in this congregation, that you would realize that you so strongly disagree with people, even in this room right now, that you would go, can I really be a part of a church with this person? Are they really a Christian? Our minds go to those places when we start recognizing the places, the points that we disagree on, that we differ on. And so that's why I think Paul started with, be humble. Be humble. Be gentle. Be patient. And make allowances for each other's faults because of our love. That's what we've been called to do. That is a part of living a life worthy of the call that God has given us. And we do this because there is something that is greater than ourselves that unifies us. And Paul goes on in verse 4 to talk about those things. He says, for there is one body and one Spirit, and just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. You've probably heard this before, but a reminder, there is only one body. There is only one church. So we can critique and we can compare ourselves to one another, both in our church. Then we can go and look down the road at another church and we can critique and we can compare ourselves to that church. And then we can look at churches in other cities or other countries and go like, oh no, we're doing so much better, or critique. Hey, no, no, we are part of one body. One body. We also only have one Spirit. So we can look at others and go like, ah, I don't like the decisions you're making. I don't like the direction you're going. The same Spirit that's living in you is living in them. The Spirit that teaches, that convicts, that comforts, it's the same Spirit. There's only one Spirit. And there's only one glorious hope for the future. You know, we can disagree on end time doctrine or like our understanding of heaven and hell. There is only one glorious hope for the future. And that is, we are going to see the kingdom of God come in all its fullness. And every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is what unifies us. And it's not just that. Because then Paul goes on. He continues on and he talks about those other things that unify us. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living through all. This is what unifies us. And being united in these things is a part of what it means to live a life worthy of the call that God has given us. You can't get all the beautiful, wonderful things from chapters 1 to 3 without chapter 4. This is a requirement. We have to choose to live unified in these things. But then Paul makes another shift. So he starts with therefore, and then when we get to verse 7, he uses another transitional word, and he uses the word however. And so we are one body, there's one Lord, one Spirit. Verse 7, however, he has given each one of us special gifts through the generosity of Christ. And so this illustration, Paul uses quite a bit through his letters, the idea of that, you know, the church is like a body. There's many different parts to our physical body, and the church is the same. There's many different parts. We all play different roles. And what's so helpful about this illustration is that it's the reminder that unity doesn't mean uniformity. Not only that, unity does not require uniformity. Actually, for a body to be healthy and functioning, it requires diversity. Whenever I've taught this to the kids, my favorite illustration is that it would be disgusting if we were just one big eyeball rolling around, right? It's like a body needs diversity to function and be healthy. But that is exactly what makes unity so difficult, right? The diversity makes it difficult. And when I was thinking about it, I'm like, it's not just that we're different. We can all get along with different people. It's that sometimes the diversity actually challenges what we believe to be true. So the church, in all whole history of the church, there's been disagreements. And some of them are just silly, and we need to get over it. And others are really important. Have you ever thought in your head or said out loud, I'm not one of those Christians? There are people that we want to separate ourselves from, and maybe they're not legitimate reasons, but sometimes you're like, no, because there's truth. There are things that are ultimately true, and I completely agree. This is a part of this wonderful reality in Christ. There are things that are ultimately true. And so what happens when unity, this like insistence on unity, but truth, feel like they're going in opposite directions? How on earth do we resolve that tension? And the first thing I want to say about that is we need to go back to verse 2. Be humble. Be gentle. Be patient with one another. We have to go back to that. As hard as it may feel, be humble, be gentle, be patient with one another. But then as we continue through this chapter, I think Paul speaks to this. So verse 11, he said, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So did you pick up on what Paul is saying about unity and truth? I saw two things in there. And the first one is that each of us by sharing the diverse gifts that God has given us, we help the body grow both in unity and in maturity. And when you read verse 14 and 15, it's actually telling us what immaturity looks like, but it helps us understand what maturity is. It says that it's being able to discern what's true, right? We're not going to be tossed about. We're going to be able to notice when things are actually lies that sound like truth. We'll be able to discern what truth is. Maturity means speaking truth in love, means becoming more and more like Jesus. And so Paul is saying that as we share our gifts, we grow in unity and maturity. So God has given each of us gifts, but he also has given people specific gifts, some people specific gifts, for the sake of equipping the body. And so he listed those out, right? We have the apostles. And they're the ones who kind of lay that theological foundation for the church. We have the prophets, and they're the ones who, in every circumstance, right, each new challenge, they have something fresh to say, a way to speak into that. We have the evangelists. They're the ones who go out into the spaces where people have never heard the gospel before. The pastors, they're the ones who care and shepherd for the church. The teachers, they're the ones who keep bringing us back to the gospel message. These gifts have been given specifically for the equipping of the body. And you may go like, oh, I recognize the word pastor. We have people here that are pastors. Okay, these gifts are not just given to people who are in paid ministry or in official leadership. We have these gifts in the church, and those people with those gifts, they need to share their gifts so that the body can be equipped, so that we can do the work that God has given us, so that the body can be built up. But let's be clear. Paul is not saying it's up to those guys to do it all. It is when those people with those gifts equip the body sharing their gifts, do the work that God has given us to do. They build up the body. That is how we grow in unity and maturity. And you may be here and you're going, hey, I'm not mature enough in my faith yet. I step to the side and I let the people who know what they're doing, know what they're talking about, they'll be the one to build us up in unity and maturity. Not how it works. You, wherever you are at, you need to contribute your gifts, the gifts that God has given you, so that the church can grow in unity and maturity. And it's the opposite direction too. So if you've been following Jesus for your whole life and you go, yeah, I know, I need to be building up the church. I need to be sharing my gifts so that the church can grow. You need the rest of the body too. Pastors need the church so that we can grow in unity and maturity. That's the way it works. That's how we resolve that tension, is by growing together every part, giving of the gifts that they have been given so that we can grow in unity and maturity. And I'm hoping that you have experienced this. I find that it's easier to notice this when you're in a smaller group. So if you are a part of a microchurch, if you have been a part of a small group, this is where you realize, hey, everyone has to contribute. This doesn't work if people aren't contributing. And you notice what people are contributing. People come and they share their gift of hospitality. They share their gift of encouragement, of teaching. Whatever it is, as every person shares their gifts, you grow. You grow in unity. You become more unified in your awe and worship of God. You become unified in your devotion to one another. You become unified in your commitment to be obedient to God wherever he is calling you. And then you also grow in maturity And you grow in your knowledge of God, and you grow in like becoming more and more aware of what is true and what is not. You become more equipped to do the things that God has called you to do. That is the body growing in unity and maturity. And it doesn't matter if it's a large group like this, if it's we're talking about the whole church of the world, if we're talking about small groups. This is not going to be perfect because we're human beings. And that's just our reality right now. But as we share our gifts, we're participating in something that's beautiful and mysterious and actually can lead to complete unity and maturity. The second thing that I noticed in just this second section about what Paul is saying about unity and truth, unity and maturity, is in verse 16. So let me read that again. He says, he, Jesus, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And maybe this seems too simple, but I need this reminder, and so I'm assuming that you guys do as well. But it is Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. It is only Jesus who makes the whole body work together. He is the head of the church. So we don't have to be doctors. We don't have to go and try to fix the body. And we don't have to start hacking off parts that don't seem to be contributing. We don't have to like cover up the parts that we're embarrassed by. That's Jesus's job. So if you are walking around carrying the burden that you have to be the one to protect the body, that you have to make sure it all works together, be released of that. That is only Jesus who brings the body together and makes every part work together in perfect unity. What are you called to do? Share the gifts that God has given you. Share, as each part does its own special work, share the special work that you have been given. And then trust that it is Jesus who brings all of those contributions that each member has given and brings them into perfect unity. And so my encouragement, my challenge to all of us this week is that we will take seriously this call to lead a life that is worthy of the calling of God. That we will, first of all, be humble. That we will be gentle. That we will be patient with one another. That we will contribute generously to the body, and that we will trust that it is Jesus who is going to bring all of this together in perfect unity. Let me pray for us. Yeah, God, I am so grateful for this piece of the body, for each person that you have brought into this room today, for each person that calls SBC their church home. It is not by mistake that you have brought us together. God, I thank you for your generosity in giving us gifts, diverse gifts that together work to encourage and build up the body so that we can do the work that you have called us to. Oh, God, it's so easy to turn to a different part of the body and start being critical, start only noticing the ways that it's not being helpful to us, helpful to our goals. God, forgive us for that. Help us to see one another as vital, as a part of something that is so much bigger than ourselves, but that we are a part of as well. Brothers and sisters, help us to be patient with one another, to be gentle, to love one another as you have first loved us. May we experience all that you have for us, all that we have read in this beautiful letter of Paul's, but to actually live it out too, to be obedient to you and to live out what you are asking us to do. Thank you that we can trust that it is only you who is going to bring all of this together in perfect unity. That as we do our part, we can trust you to be faithful in bringing us together. Pray all about this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Christina. Yesterday I had coffee with a couple, and I think unbeknownst to them, what they shared with me was a lot of what was coming out of here. This idea that we are all unique. We all do have different opportunities. And as it says right there, we each kind of have a role to play, a part to play. And it was exciting to hear them talk about how God is burdening them with the unique vision and calling that brings a fuller expression to this part of the church. The church that's a part of the greater church. Yeah, it's really great. I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to pray together, and I'm going to lead us, and then there will be portions for you to pray as well. If you could bring that up on the screen, please. So I'll start, and then the all together parts, if we would read this together. God of grace, together we turn to you in prayer. For it is you who unites us. You are the one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in whom we believe. You alone empower us for good. You send us out across the earth in mission and service in the name of Christ. Oh God, we yearn to be a community of believers united in your Spirit. And yet, we are fraught with divisions, denominational, political, theological. We are weighed down by tensions and the things that break us apart. Forgive us, great God, for this great sin. Help us to learn to live in community together, loving one another in spite of our differences and respecting one another in everything that we do and say. Help us to be as you call us, one in heart and mind. Only through the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, can we achieve this. Lord Jesus Christ, who prayed for your disciples that they might be one, even as you are one with the Father, draw us to yourself, that in common love and obedience to you, we may be united to one another in the fellowship of the one Spirit, that the world may believe that you are the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
We are one in the Spirit.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, and know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Father, from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Yes, as we walk humbly before our God, right? That opening wording. It's been great to have you with us here this morning. As you know, we took the offering up as the plate was passed by, but maybe you weren't prepared to give that way, but you'd like to. There is a Connect desk in the lobby. Love for you to maybe visit there, and you can give by donation there as well. Maybe you're wanting just to get connected in a little deeper way here at SBC. You can talk to me after the service. I'll just be up front here, or you can fill out a Connect card if you want to do it that way, and just drop that off at the Connect desk, and we'll be happy to reach out to you at some point. Maybe you're feeling burdened this morning. There's just something that's just a little been heavy on your heart. You came in with it. Maybe it's something that God just revealed as you've been with us this morning. There will be people up front who would love to pray with you. Or you can reach out to us on our website for prayer as well. You can share the prayer request. There's a group of people that pray throughout the week who would love to carry your burden with you. Let me read for you just these last few words from Romans chapter 15 as our benediction, as we head off into the week. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Go in peace.